Hi, welcome to Tracy's Ocean of Notions. I am back, and today I am in my house that I live now here with my boyfriend. So I moved to a house. It's still in the area. I was really set on staying in Southeast Portland because, listen, I'm somebody who convenience wins out for me a lot of the time. You know, like that jelly bean experiment that they do for little babies, and they're like asking the babies to wait 5 minutes or whatever, wait until the adult comes back in the room before they eat the jelly bean. I would be the baby eating the jelly bean as soon as I heard the door close and the person left the room. So all that to say that if I were to ever visit my parents again, if I were to, this sounds terrible, but ever see my little brother, you know, do anything that was slightly inconvenient, a drive over 10 minutes, I probably would rarely ever do it. So I knew I needed to stay in Southeast Portland. So my boyfriend and I got a house here. It's 5 minutes away from my parents' house. Before that, I don't know if I did any podcasts in that time, but before that, I moved out of my parents' house and I moved in with a roommate. It was a really nice, like, cute little townhouse, still, you know, 5 minutes away. I think that one was even closer to my parents' house. And it was really nice, but the reason I moved out was so I could go out, get drunk, come home, and not have to answer any questions. Or disappoint anybody, except for maybe my roommates, who were surprisingly, I mean, she was Asian, so she looked younger. I didn't know that she was like 30-something, which means that she's has like a respectable bedtime. So, I was coming home kind of late sometimes, but I mean, she was really cool and she was really nice. And I don't think that she cared, but I it was funny for me to like still have that panicky feeling of like when I came home late and I'm like creeping up to my bedroom, I'm like, I don't want to wake them. I don't want to wake my roommate, you know? And it's like, is that carried from... Because carried from my fear as a teenager, like sneaking back into the house, you know? And that was probably my first exposure to like the reality that is your upbringing kind of just stays in your behavior even after you leave the house. So that was probably my first like moment where I realized that that was a thing. But yeah, so now anyway, I'm living here. It's great. We have a stripper pole. We have a pinball machine, but it's rented. We've been renting pinball machines for 3 months from like Quarter World, which is like my boyfriend's favorite place to go because they have these strings called Yoshi's Islands that are really delicious. So we would always just go there and get drunk and play pinball and arcade games. So yeah, I moved out so I could do that, right? And then I did do that for like a month, but then we were all in quarantine and then I was just paying rent really to struggle and not even, I was like, shit, I mean, I kind of wish I just had stayed home with my parents. So like, because if I was going to be home anyway, all day, all night, every day, then might as well just have stayed at home, you know? But no, it was good. It was a good stepping stone because now I live with my boyfriend and he's older and like he knows how to like be an adult doing things, cleaning things, buying groceries. And now I do too because I had a couple months experience of doing that myself. Yeah, it's going great. And It's really nice. We go out, you know, like you can go out now. So we do go out sometimes to get drinks or whatever. We try to be in like outdoors, like in open spaces. But I do miss, you know, after I turned 21, I did go to the club like once or twice to celebrate my birthday and to celebrate my friends' birthdays and to hang out and stuff. But I don't know if there's any clubs open right now, but I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable being in like a packed indoor space. Listen, I know coronavirus, we're learning more and more about it. We started off being really cautious, and I'm talking about the Portland population. I know some people down south who are, this would not resonate with them at all. And I don't really have anything to say about how people are operating in the south or in places that are really liberal with social distancing, like as in they're not doing it. But you know, I think I started off like everybody else, really kind of just trying to get used to the new normal, like wondering like how long is this gonna be a thing, like what do we have to do. And I was taking like extreme measures. I mean, I wouldn't say extreme, but like I really wasn't going out, I really wasn't ordering anything online because I didn't want to like have to touch something that somebody else touched. Like I didn't know how much precaution to exercise because the research and the news and the knowledge wasn't out there yet. So I like exercised close to maximum precautions. And then, you know, now we're learning a little bit of more about it. We are learning that it's mostly like direct contact and aerosol droplets and, you know, so, and that there, it's not really like, you know, fomites are like doorknobs and things like packages and things like that, where somebody has touched something and then somebody else touches it and then you get the disease. Like that doesn't really happen with coronavirus as far as I know. So I feel like it's been less anxiety inducing because we're learning that you don't need to take like super maximum precaution. Like you can touch a metal doorknob that somebody else has touched probably and then wash your hands and be fine. And the death rates, I mean, they're not good. I mean, there's, you know, I think if we were, it was like in America, if nobody were to get vaccinated, nobody were to wear masks, we were just going to go back to normal, whatever, 2 million people would die. And that's not good. And we don't want that, right? But like, that's a lower number than I think I feared. And so, and a lot of people were expecting a lower number. And so, you know, there's people getting it and recovering and whatever. So meaning all of this to say, I've used that twice in this 8-minute conversation with myself. And all of this to say that it's just a little less anxiety inducing right now. And I'm a little less panicked and I'm still exercising precautions, but we're not quite so limited. You know, like things are opening up. I do feel okay. Like I feel okay, but like we know that eating outdoors, you know, you're less likely to get coronavirus if you're near other people, but you're socially distanced and you're outdoors, right? So it's been, I guess it's been okay. I honestly, for classes, I'm taking classes at PSU. For honestly, I like it, and I really like that I save time on commuting. I only have to go across the bridge, but, and also just parking, like driving around downtown, kind of like, and trying to find parking, like it's frustrating sometimes. And then, sometimes, like I remember, I mean, sometimes, you know, you just have certain classes where you go to the lectures and then you just leave the lecture and you're like, that was absolutely pointless. You know, I feel like I don't feel that way about lectures right now because I'm taking them online and there's not much wasted, you know, 2 hours of my day, whatever. Even if the lecture isn't titillating, then it's fine, you know. I'm glad to have that morsel of social interaction with my classmates and my professor. Like, it's fine. I mean, there's less to lose and there's nothing to lose. And so I really like it. I feel like I've been more engaged in my work, my schoolwork, because I just have more time that's not spent on like commuting or not spent on trying to find parking, not spent on like wandering around the park blocks looking for food because I just have food in my fridge, you know, like, so that just gives me more time to do the schoolwork. So I feel like I'm absorbing more this term, and I'm taking epidemiology, which is very interesting right now. And it's just like, it's an intro. I mean, it's a 400 level class, but it's just, it's not like epidemiology, like from in a master's program, it's undergraduate epidemiology. So it's very intro, and it's fun. I like it. I like how it has kind of reminded me that critical thinking is not intuitive sometimes. Like, causes for certain phenomenons and causes for certain things like epidemics or whatever, like, it's not the first most simple explanation is not always going to be the right explanation, you know? So that's the point of research. That's the point of long-winded articles and research articles and essays, is because the nuances matter, you know? If you take a look at just one piece of data and like, can you have a claim and you have a statement that you can make from that, like, sometimes that's not right and that's not accurate. And it shined a light on people spreading misinformation. Like, that's something that I think really frustrates me, especially right now with, you know, the political charge and the conversations and the coronavirus and politicized conversations around coronavirus. Like, I get really annoyed, and I get really, because I always try to approach things with empathy, and this is just something where I didn't really understand or have empathy for people who were so adamantly like pushing statements that weren't inaccurate. But, you know, I think that this, like taking a science class, going back to studying, you know, science, is, it has helped me have empathy and have an understanding of how easy it is to look at something at face value and just take it at face value and run away with an opinion on that, you know? People are strapped for time, especially in America. People are overworked or they're tired, and the little amount of energy that they do have to be active citizens, sometimes they're not diving deep into these topics that they want to have an opinion on, and they should have an opinion on, and they deserve to have an opinion on, but they're not doing their research, or they're not spending enough time, or they just, I don't mean to say that people who have like opinions opposite of mine are uneducated or whatever. I mean, there's plenty of people who have differing opinions, and they're way more educated than I will ever be. But, you know, I've always known that there's corrupt people. I've always known that there's people who will push interests that serve them, even if they know that it's wrong. But, you know, if they say something publicly, then it'll in turn have a benefit for them, so then they'll say it. I've always known there are people like that out there, but I was attributing a lot of the misinformation being spread to the possibility that people are like, everyone who's doing that is like that. But, you know, a lot of times it's just people are ignorant, you know, like they're ignorant and, that they're just ignorant or they just, and this is, I don't want to say, I'm trying to say it in a way that's not offensive or, you know, disrespectful, because I really do think, like, if we wanted to, in America, to have active citizens and citizens participating in everything, we would give them time, like on the clock time, to research the shit, and we don't, you know? So people are expected to, in their own time, engage and be active citizens for, you know, like, are we paying them for what, you know? So people want to have opinions. They want to have like the dinner conversation opinion and topics, and you know, they want to hold their own in these conversations. And so I think people know how important it is for them to be active citizens and engaged. And so they're kind of either doing rushed research or just research that has led them to unreliable sources that they don't know are unreliable sources, and even makes them question reliable sources and their its validity, you know? Long-winded, but that's kind of been my takeaway from the class beyond its material for epidemiology. And then I'm taking two other classes, investing, in like personal investing, and then a economic engineering class, engineering economics class. Me in an engineering class? Never. You'll never catch me in one of those. But yeah, I thought it was just an economics class. I didn't know it was engineering economics, but it's still cool. It's still relevant. Both of those classes I'm taking to have a better understanding of like financial world, money world, because when I was working on my company in the summer, I realized that's one of my weakest points was, I mean, I know how to work Excel, but I don't really have a good understanding of like financial reports and like, you know, cash flow statements, balance sheets and stuff like that, just basic accounting stuff. And also on a bigger scale, like understanding the market and understanding like, you know, what makes a company favorable and, you know, investor world and all this other stuff. Like I didn't really understand that. And, you know, part of having a business is you want to make money, right? And I was just caught up in like having fun and marketing and doing the fun stuff, doing the things that I like to do. So when I was talking to mentors, talking to people, potential investors and things, which I've decided to opt out of the idea of investing for now. I'm not taking on investments just because honestly, the company's messy. I'm thinking, you know, if I were an investor, I wouldn't be investing in my company at this stage. It's just too early. It's not concept stage, but it's just too early on. And I honestly don't want to play the people pleaser role right now. I just want to do the work of developing and just strengthening the processes and strengthening the production and distribution, marketing. Like, you know, when you start a company, you're the only person. Just all of what that entails, in addition to playing the people pleasing role of pitching to investors and trying to appease investors and trying to win over investors, it's just too much. I just don't want to do it, you know, right now. And I don't know if I'll ever do it because one of my icons, a legend, is Sarah Blakely, and she owns Spanx and she owns 100% of the company. And honestly, she seems very satisfied with it. And I feel like it's a more satisfying role to be in when you're president of a company and you own the whole company versus, you know, Sophia Amoruso. She started up Nasty Gal, which was amazing, but it went bankrupt, you know? And in her books, part of what she says is that she really envies the small business owner who owns the whole of her company. And she didn't say that she like, you know, regretted having investors or anything like that, but she, you know, envies the freedom that somebody who owns their whole company has. And sort of like when you have investors, you're giving up parts of your company to people. And not that all investors are like this, but a lot of the time, you know, people, even though they own part of the company, they don't really, you know, why are you investing? The point of investing is to have other people do work and then you reap the benefits, right? And so investors won't really be engaged. And so you're owning part of a company, you're selling part of your company away, you're selling part of your control away. But then the person who does have the control is not trying to do much. So then that kind of creates a space where companies aren't taken care of in a way that is exacting or is as, I don't know, it's not as tight a ship as it could be when you have investors on, I guess that's what I'm saying. And so, yeah, I'll be honest, it's part break because of school and part just being in my head about it, which I think is important because I had a test run basically with very low production costs and, selling to mostly people who I knew were friends of friends and whatever. And so I learned a lot and I have ideas and I'm still brainstorming, you know. And another part of that is that I'm just crunched for time. I'm in school and I'm working. And I just needed a break. And I think it's really important to allow myself those times because I don't want to burn out when it's an important time and I should be going. So, I mean, I think the antidote to that is kind of taking breaks when life allows and when time allows so that when it's time to crunch and time to go, you're able to go, you know, because you've already – it's like when you're on a shift and you're taking a break when it's slow so that you can be there when it's busy, you know. And, of course, if you're an employee, that wouldn't really – you'd rather take a break when it's busy than when it's slow. But if you're owning your own company and you really want it to do well, then I think it's better to take a break when it's slow and things are kind of sleepy. There were ways to, be in farmers markets and other things, but I was just like, I'm just going to lay low for now because the opportunities aren't rich right now. And I don't want to not be there when the opportunities are rich and have to take a break because I'm tired or I'm burnt out or whatever, you know? That's kind of the reasoning. But anyway, I need to get back on it. I gave myself until my birthday, which is in a few days, and I have ideas. And one of the big issues was storing inventory in the house, and we're working around that. Now I have more space. This house is very spacious, and I'm really glad I live here. My boyfriend and I have separate rooms. But we end up sleeping in the same room most nights. But I like that we have separate rooms because sometimes, you just want to splay out on the bed and you don't really want anybody else right there. And even if it's your favorite person in the world, you don't really want anybody there. You just want to be a starfish, you know? And yeah, I've had a couple people over. I've had some gatherings, but I definitely am ready, a little bit eager to get back onto socializing and seeing people and like talking to people. I miss my friends. I've seen them a couple times. We've gotten together a couple times, but like even just also branching out and talking to other people, like seeing people that I haven't seen in a while, like I'm glad that the bars are open right now. It's getting a little cold, so I'm hoping to meet with some people and just like get some drinks outdoors while it's not super, super cold, you know? So, yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm just kind of laying low, kind of like I have plans, I'm moving. I don't want to like stop, you know? I think that's the most dangerous thing. And that's something that I learned when I was younger is like when you're, it's okay, it's perfectly fine to slow down and move at different paces. But when you stop, you fully stop, it's so hard to come back. And it's like, I've taken summer breaks where I like literally did nothing and I literally just hung out and like did fun things. And I think that like my dopamine feedback situation just went crazy. And it like, it was so hard to get back into like enjoying the benefits of like being productive and whatever. But on a deep, deep, deep core spiritual level, I know that I'm somebody who wants to do things in the world and I don't want to just be idle, even though I do love being idle and that's a part of it and that's really important. I wouldn't be satisfied if I wasn't being productive and being active and doing things, you know? Because you know, it's a collective. We're a collective, and if you contribute, you contribute, and you get to kind of shift the balances and shift things and move things. But if you don't, then you don't, and you just live and you die and you haven't done anything. And I don't want to do that. Although, you know, maybe in a different life, I would like to do that. You know, I would like to have a life, a different life, maybe the one after this, or maybe I did it in the one before this, where kind of just read poetry and listen to music and live by the beach and just fish at a lake or something. I don't know. That's cool. And I feel like I experienced a connection to that life when I was in Eastern Oregon, and I felt this peace and this feeling of like, wow, we can spend a life. It's possible to live a life where you don't do anything and get enjoyment out of it and get, you know, contentment and everything. It's like, you don't need much, you know? And you can make a choice whether you want to do a lot or you don't. And it's fine either way. And there's no universe pressure or force or nothing. There's no system pressure. I mean, there is like capitalist system pressure to be productive. But I mean, like, if you're talking about morals, you can be an unproductive person and be a good person, you know, and be a worthy person. So that was an important realization for me to make. But on a personal level, for me as an individual, I want to be productive. And so that's what I realized. That's why I'm against fully stopping, but I'm not against slowing down. And so I feel like I'm kind of climbing out of my little hermit crab shell right now, and I'm hoping to gain momentum soon, but that's where I'm at. Bye.